This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon, Ed. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
We've seen the latest US economic data over the last couple of days, which has been really interesting, and it has shown a deterioration, hasn't it?
Very much so. I think a lot of traders were surprised that the economy would weaken this quickly. But when you take a look at the first look of the flash PMIs for the month of May, there is just a significant deceleration in not just manufacturing activity, but also in the service sector. And that's troubling because there was this expectation that a lot of the purchasing of goods was going to transition to the service sector. And it doesn't look like that's happening. In addition to that, we were continuing to see, the peak in the housing market is in place. New home sales disappointed greatly. There's also, this fear that you're still seeing higher house prices. And what's really troubling is that for a lot of Americans, the problem with the housing market is that you're having higher borrowing costs. You're also seeing that over the last year, a lot of households that did get involved in the housing market, they unfortunately, did not have a fixed rate. And what you're starting to see is some of their costs are, skyrocketing. In January of 2021, the 30-year mortgage rate was 2.65%. Now it's at 5.25%. And the average new home price has gone from $401,000 to over $570,000. So, you're seeing people's 20, if you're doing a 20% down payment, their monthly payments, almost doubled. The housing market peak should be in place. And, that was the bright spot throughout, this pandemic. And now you're probably going to start to see, that part of the economy cool, which is really just a big red flag that this economy is in deceleration mode. And in addition to that, you take a look over at China, and it looks like they're having economic difficulties that are worsening too. So a lot of weakening economic data, and that's kind of been what traders have been focused on, and that's what's been leading that belief that if this data continues to deteriorate, you might see the Fed have to change course with this aggressive rate hiking cycle, which for many isn't even that aggressive.
And what's particularly interesting for us here in the UK and Europe, Ed, is the fact that we're looking at what's happening in the United States at the moment, and it's as if you guys are 6 months to 1 year ahead of us in this cycle. So it's giving, I believe, investors and analysts some clues as to what holds for us a bit further down the line, particularly when, we just mentioned, for instance, house prices. House prices almost reaching their peak here, I believe. And same goes for interest rates as well, although the Bank of England has already said it might have to rein in some of those rate rises because of worries about growth and so on. It looks like you've reached that point in the United States, and perhaps these are clues for us further down the line.
Very, very much so. And I think what you're probably going to start to see is that the consumer is definitely looking a lot weaker. And the expectations that spending is going to soften significantly is there. We've had some really eye-opening earnings reports from Target, Walmart, and even Snapchat that kind of triggered some of the more recent sell-offs that are making everyone nervous that it's going to be a rough couple of quarters. And I think there's still this belief that, the economy is still strong. It will avoid a recession this year, and most likely it'll avoid it next year. But, the risk that it could enter one next year is growing. but the consumer spending is key to the economy. And right now, if the consumer weakens further, then that will be a troubling sign.
Let's move topics, Ed, and talk about Joe Biden. And he's really been talking tough on China recently, which is of concern, I think, to some as regards that relationship. Do markets see it that way?
I think initially, when the headline first dropped, you know, there was a little bit of nervousness that the U.S. is taking a much more aggressive stance against China, and that, you know, they are ready to use military force to defend Taiwan if it was ever attacked. But you know, I think for the most part, that those comments were kind of taken back. They said they would, you know, really just focus on providing them with the goods to support that fight, not necessarily the manpower. And then I think overall, you know, then really, you know, the key takeaway was that, you know, that President Biden was, you know, really willing to consider a change of position on the tariffs. I think the Taiwan comments kind of got lost, the markets were more constructive that, you know, we could be seeing a little bit of a de-escalation in some of those tariffs, which would provide much needed relief, and that would really help the inflation story, which a lot of traders thought, you know, was very easy to say that was needed, but it wasn't expected that this administration would do it. So I think the Biden administration, they're looking at the polls. There was quite a few elections. Democrats did a little bit better than expected with some of these smaller elections, but I think, you know, they're poised to lose, you know, control of Congress come November. And I think right now, you know, you're seeing a Biden administration is that nervous that, you know, the they're probably the underdog right now to keep, you know, the White House. So the Biden administration is going to become, I think, a little bit more supportive for the economy, and that's probably why you're going to see, I think, a little bit of a capitulation against China.
Okay. Meanwhile, to the other side of the world, and a surprise rate decision in New Zealand, much higher than expected.
I think everyone knows the world is battling inflation, and there was a significant rate increase by the Bank of New Zealand. This is their second 50 basis point increase. It's the fifth consecutive one that they've had. I think some were expecting that they might start to slow down because of the difficult global macro environment. But right now, it looks like the Bank of New Zealand is really they're focused on delivering aggressive rate hikes. They want to sneak these rate hikes in before you really start to see more negative economic growth figures here. So I think they're probably leading the way on how you're supposed to fight inflation. And I think you're probably going to see that the interest rate differential is really going to start to sway in their favor. And I think, you know, they're optimistic that inflation will slow to 3% by the third quarter of 2023, which suggests, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable for quite some time with these inflationary pressures, but they're positioning themselves to address this inflationary problem. And right now, you know, money markets, they're now pricing much more aggressive rate hikes. So I think that you're going to see that expectations are that that overnight cash rate is going to hit 4% early next year. And if you're a currency trader, that's making the Kiwi look pretty attractive.
What is happening at the moment with currencies in terms of the dollar, sterling, and the euro?
Well, right now, you're starting to see dollar dominance has been in place for quite some time, and it seems that there's been a little bit of exhaustion on that trade. You're finally starting to see the ECB kind of pivot now. Markets are expecting them to raise rates in July. Lagarde's rate plan is winning ECB support, and I think that you're going to see that expectations are that this move in the dollar has probably been overextended. If we continue to see turmoil in global markets, the dollar will continue to rally. But I think there is some optimism brewing that, okay, you're starting to see a lot more weaker economic data, and that could force the Fed into being less aggressive. Right now, the market's priced in, the majority of these Fed rate hikes. But now, if we continue to see weaker data, there's this belief that you might see them, lower that rate hiking pace to 25 basis points at Jackson Hole. The PBOC is likely to provide more accommodation, and I think you're probably going to see that inflation is not falling down quickly enough, and I think demand destruction will eventually send inflation lower, you have a lot of investors right now that they're trying to look at, where do I place my money? And I think the short-term pain for equities, it seems that there might be a little bit more, but I think there's this strong belief that you're still going to see that, 1-2 years down the road, equities should be, global equities, that is, should be much higher. That's probably why you're going to see, that safe haven trade for that's been pumping up the dollar be undone. But right now, it seems that if we have more rate hikes priced in by the ECB, that should be the primary driver for a weaker dollar.
And finally, Ed, the woes for cryptocurrencies continues, and that's despite a little bit of an uplift today for the likes of Bitcoin. But Bitcoin, for instance, remains below that crucial $30,000 mark.
Yeah, it's been a troubling time for cryptocurrencies. The global market sell-off, shows you that, Bitcoin is not a safe haven. It's not an inflation hedge. It remains a risky asset. And there has not been any major breakthroughs as far as mainstream acceptance. There has not been any crypto projects that are providing a new wave of interest that will spark both retail and institutional traders. So right now, crypto is just kind of struggling here, and it really needs to see that global risk appetite remains in place before investors are confident that you could see cryptos start to look attractive again. The problem is that I think every time we see a major sell-off with crypto, everyone just kind of reassesses, and there's 19,000 different coins out there, and most of them are worthless, and you really need to see the space cleaned up. And right now, Bitcoin has been struggling because there's not been any strong breakthroughs as far as improving that fundamental outlook, and you're probably going to see that Bitcoin is, it's very vulnerable to one last sell-off here, as the institutional money is they're kind of on the sidelines right now. There's just not a lot of confidence right now in this space. I think long-term bets, they're just waiting for one more plunge, one more collapse before piling back in. And it looks like you're in for a choppy environment here for crypto. And until you start to see, a firm rebound here with risky assets, Bitcoin's going to struggle.
Okay, Ed, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
This is the Oanda Podcast.